Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs Podcast presented by Omaha Steaks. Josh All alone, and I'm coming to you guys with the final, very last episode of the State of the Browns series. We have made it to the final position group. We're talking quarterbacks today. We saved this one for last, and it's probably a good thing we did because now we've got an extra guy to talk about in this episode. So we're going to dive through all of the quarterbacks that are currently on the Browns roster. We're going to take a quick look back at 2023 and see what these guys did and what we can expect moving forward in 2024. This is a big one that I know everybody's concerned about because obviously it's where the most money is tied up for the Browns, and it's also the most important position in sports. Let's just call it what it is. You have got to have your quarterback position locked down if you want any opportunity to actually compete at the NFL level. So we see that with these teams all the time. Everybody's going after the top end quarterbacks, and that's exactly what the Browns did with their number one guy, Deshaun Watson. So we will dive into all of this stuff and talk about it, break it down, and just have a good time finishing up this series. I've had a lot of fun going through all these position groups, honestly. And if you have not checked out the other episodes or you've missed some, go check them out. It really helps everybody understand who's on the team in 2024 and breaking down the different position groups. I mean, for instance, the defensive tackles. When I broke down that group, it really led me to believe why Christian Wilkins was not getting signed by the Browns. And we were going to do something similar to last year with more one-year contracts, and that's what we saw. Maurice Hurst, Shelby Harris, two guys that I talked about hopefully coming back, are now back. We just got Quentin Jefferson, today, so as I'm recording this, and that's it right there, man. We got our one-year contract guys. We've got Siaki. You can just go back and check out those episodes. I talk about each position without diving too much into the weeds on any specific one, because as you guys know who follow the show and watch my solos, I tend to ramble, so I'm going to try to cut it back real quick. Before I dive into the quarterbacks, though, a couple things. Number one, if you guys are watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe to the channel. We are getting closer and closer to 9,000 subscribers on YouTube. Help us get there. We really appreciate it. And if you are listening on audio, you guys are awesome. Thank you for following the show and checking us out. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts specifically, I'm talking to you guys. Scroll down on the homepage for the Dogs Podcast channel and make sure you leave us a 5-star written review. Those help out the show immensely. So just tap 5 stars, leave a quick comment. Doesn't have to be anything crazy, just a quick comment with your 5-star review. And that helps out the show a ton. I just wanted to shout out the most recent one, Cleveland CJ. He says, love the show. Stopped listening to most of the local Browns radio besides CBD because of this podcast. No negativity or talk about stuff that has nothing to do with football. Just great insight and analysis on the players. So Cleveland CJ, really appreciate that. And that's all it takes. It doesn't even have to be that long. Just leave a 5-star written review and you guys are helping out the show a ton. So let's dive in to the quarterbacks. And there was one other thing I wanted to do. I'm going to quick aside. And this is probably going to be a longer episode because here I go rambling again. I just got married last week out in Hawaii, guys. It was incredible. I appreciate all the well wishes and the congratulations from everybody. Thank you so much. And I really want to take a moment and shout out Lee Shelko from the Honolulu, Hawaii Browns backers out in Hawaii. I was on Oahu, the island of Oahu. I was in Honolulu and we arranged a meetup. I wanted to go to the Waikiki Brewing Company, the bar where these guys meet. This Browns backers crew meets every Sunday or every game day to watch the Browns and take it all in. And it was so awesome being there. It was like, honestly, it felt like being in Cleveland away from Cleveland. And that's what these Browns backers clubs are all around the world. So wherever you are listening to this, if you don't have Browns fans locally with you to watch games and you're looking for that kind of interaction, go to the Browns backers worldwide on the Browns website, find the nearest one to you and consider joining and getting, you know, involved in their group, because it's so, so awesome. I want to shout out Lee. And I want to shout out Riley. I want to shout out Morgan, the primary waitress and I guess photographer for the crew. She is awesome. And Al, the chef. You guys were awesome. I appreciated everything you guys did for me. We sat down, we ate, we had a beer. It was a great time hanging out there in Hawaii with Lee and everybody from the Honolulu Hawaii Browns backers. You guys are the best. Okay, so now let's dive into the main topic and talk about these quarterbacks. So, of course, there's no introduction to Deshaun Watson. Everybody knows Deshaun Watson is the Cleveland Browns quarterback in 2024. 6'3", 223 pounds, 28 years old. He will turn 29 when the season begins in September. For those of you who don't know, Deshaun is actually his middle name. His first name is Derek. He was born in Gainesville, Georgia. So just a quick recap of his younger years for those of you, which are probably most of you, who didn't follow him from high school to college to the pros, because he wasn't from Ohio, he wasn't from Cleveland, wasn't from any of that stuff. So when he was in high school in Georgia, Deshaun Watson beat out a junior for the starting quarterback spot on his high school team when he was a freshman, and he became the first freshman quarterback to ever start for the head coach at the time, Bruce Miller. He set Georgia State records for total yards, total touchdowns, career passing yards, career passing touchdowns. He threw 155 touchdowns and rushed for 63 more touchdowns in 4 years in high school. So that kind of comes out to like 54.5 touchdowns per season. That's a little bit more than a lot. He made the state semifinals as a sophomore and a senior. During his junior year, they won the state championship. And then he went on to play college football at Clemson. He came out of high school as the top-ranked quarterback in the entire nation. He received playing time as the backup his first three games as a freshman. And then he won the starting job outright. And in his first start as a freshman, which was against the University of North Carolina, he threw for 435 yards and set a school record with six passing touchdowns in his first start. Freshman straight out of high school. So Deshaun Watson, I'm kind of doing a lot of this background to show you where Deshaun Watson came from, to show you, because a lot of people, again, didn't follow him all the way back to his younger years, but the guy has been a true competitor and a winner from the very beginning. And I'm just saying these things because it all plays into why there was such a rush for teams, such a bidding war for NFL teams to get him when he became available, and why the Browns ultimately did what they did to get him. So getting back to some of this history, he suffered injuries as a freshman in college, broke a bone in his throwing hand, he missed three games, came back, suffered an LCL strain his first game back, then he missed a game, then came back for a game, won that game over South Carolina, and after that game, they discovered that he had played the entire game on a torn ACL in his left knee. So when people talk about, well, he played an entire game in college with a torn ACL, that was the one. Then he comes back his sophomore year, comes back, leads the Tigers to a 12-0 season, played Alabama in the national championship game, ended up losing 45-40, but he set the record for most yards ever in a national championship game, 405 passing yards, 73 rushing yards, four touchdowns. He was a Heisman finalist, first Clemson player to ever receive a Heisman ceremony invitation. He won the Davey O'Brien Award, which is the award for the best quarterback in the nation at the collegiate level. Comes back third year, junior year, second consecutive Davey O'Brien Award winner, another Heisman finalist season. And that was the year Clemson demolished Ohio State 31-0 in the college football playoff. Yeah, so at that point in time, I was not the biggest Deshaun Watson fan for a little bit because, I mean, he dismantled my Buckeyes. But, you know, whatever. Clemson goes on to the national championship game for the second straight year, repeat game against Alabama. And this time, they pulled off the victory 35-31. He threw for 420 yards, three touchdowns with 43 yards rushing and another score on the ground. So in those national championship games, Deshaun Watson came to play and he showed out. So high school, a little high school history, a little college history, into the NFL, Deshaun Watson gets drafted. As I think most Browns fans realize, he gets drafted 12th overall in 2017 with the first round pick that the Cleveland Browns were on the clock with. And we said at the time, we were a little disappointed. All we had to do was turn in the card. And Deshaun Watson is a Cleveland Brown. But instead, we trade that pick to the Texans. They come up promptly to number 12, draft Deshaun Watson. So the Browns and the Texans have been linked together over Deshaun Watson since the very beginning of his career, not just since the trade. A lot of people think, well, look at all the things between the Browns and Texans since the trade, blah, blah, blah. Guys, the Texans traded for Deshaun Watson essentially from the Browns to get him in the first place. So these two teams have been locked over Deshaun Watson since the beginning. We're going to do a quick NFL history on Deshaun Watson before we dive into what happened in 2023. In his 2017 rookie season, the dude came out and was electric. He just took the league by storm. He played seven games, started his first seven games as a rookie. The first two were a little slow, but then he exploded with a 300-yard game. Then he had a game of 280 yards, 260 yards, 225, and then he blew up again for a 400-yard game as a rookie. He had two games with four touchdown passes, one with three, and a game with five touchdowns as a rookie. So he was really lighting it on fire, and then unfortunately tore his ACL in practice after that seventh game. So his rookie season ended right then and there. But he had accumulated 1,700 yards and 19 touchdowns to just eight interceptions over those seven games as a rookie. And I keep saying as a rookie because if you've watched any NFL football, you see that typically rookie quarterbacks struggle quite a bit that first season. I mean, you've got your outliers like CJ Stroud and Justin Herbert and some of these guys. But typically, rookie quarterbacks do not hit the ground running. It takes a little bit. They go through some bumps and bruises. And Deshaun Watson took a few bumps and bruises in those seven games, but he delivered a lot more than he took. And it was, I just remember being super impressed with him. 22-year-old rookie coming out of college and doing what he did was pretty good. So again, I'm not going back here in time and highlighting Deshaun Watson and talking about all this stuff to prop him up or to try to glorify the guy. I just think we all need to collectively understand the history behind who is playing quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, because his career history shows what he is capable of. And it just helps understand why the Browns did what they did to get him. So he comes back from that torn ACL, and he follows it up with three consecutive Pro Bowl seasons in 2018, 2019, and 2020. And of course, in 2020, he was the NFL passing leader, 4,823 yards, 33 touchdowns, and just seven interceptions. And this is another interesting stat. Deshaun Watson has never had one, or I'm sorry, he's only ever had one season with over 10 interceptions in a season. He threw 12 picks in 2019. Every other season, the dude's been at 8, 9, 7, 5, and 4. Now, granted, three of those were shortened seasons, but he drastically cut back on the interceptions because he threw 32 over three seasons at Clemson. But he also throws touchdowns at a high clip, 90 touchdowns in college, and he's been over 25 in every full season he's played in the NFL. So Deshaun Watson, he's a very good quarterback. In the NFL, he has nine comeback games, 11 game-winning drives, both of those most recently added to in Baltimore against the Ravens this past season. In 2019, the Texans were down 16-0 against the Bills in the wild card game. Deshaun Watson led the Texans back to a 22-19 overtime victory. Then they went on to play the divisional game against the Kansas City Chiefs, where he threw a whopping 388 yards, two touchdowns, scored one rushing touchdown on the ground, had the Texans up 24-0 in the second quarter. And if you remember this game the way I do, I just kind of tuned out thinking, wow, they are beating the living bejesus out of the Chiefs. 24-0, and I think it was at halftime, or just maybe they scored one right before halftime. It was 24-7. I can't remember exactly, but it was a huge lead. I thought this game is toast. These guys are done. And then Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, you know, the Chiefs offense come out, they do their thing, and they destroyed the Texans defense in that second half. And they ended up winning 51-31, which is just wild to think about. You're down 24-0 and you end up scoring 51 points. I mean, that's, people will point to that game a lot of times and say, oh, he lost that game. Guys, the Texans defense lost that game. Deshaun Watson did not give up 51 points. I am sorry. So in 2020, the Texans picked up Watson's fifth-year option, then signed him to a four-year, $177.5 million extension with $111 million guaranteed. And then in 2021, the following offseason, this is when things completely broke down between Watson and the Texans, and things just spiraled out of control. So in 2021 there, the Houston Texans broke their agreement with Watson, which was part of his contract negotiations, okay? This wasn't just some off-the-cuff conversation over a beer. This was part of his contract negotiations when they were talking about the extension the year before. He was to be consulted and kept in the loop about changes in the front office and the coaching staff. That was part of the agreement. The Texans broke that agreement. They hired, I forget exactly the details. It was either the GM, the coach, something. They hired people without ever consulting or giving any knowledge whatsoever to Deshaun. And essentially, they just destroyed the trust between, you know, them and him. And you also have to remember, the team around him in that 2020 season was garbage. Bill O'Brien had just traded away Watson's best receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, to Arizona the previous offseason. And then they come out and they follow it up with this crap where they go against their word to him. So the dude had enough. He said, you know what? I'm going to request a trade. I would like moved out of here. Now, however you guys feel about players requesting trades, it's up to you. That's your individual feeling. My view is, you know, if this is a business for the owners in the front office, it's a business for the players too. I mean, most recently we've seen now T. Higgins request a trade from Cincinnati. There's players that threaten to sit out every year if they don't get a new contract. And, you know, I mention all this because I hear the trade request by Watson thrown around a lot of times as a knock on him. But you got to remember, it was the team that severed that agreement and that relationship first. And then he reacted with the trade request. And if all that wasn't enough to convince you that the Houston Texans were a effed up organization at the time, they then refused to trade him, even though teams were beating down the door to try to make offers to get him. Most notably, if you remember the Miami Dolphins, it was all the rage. The Miami Dolphins are really trying to trade for Deshaun Watson. But rather than trade him and, you know, get a bunch of picks, maybe a player or two. And this is one thing I heard a lot of Texans fans griping about whenever I was interacting with them during this whole trade process. The Texans put Deshaun Watson on their 53-man roster in 2021, and then they made him a healthy and active for every single game that season. Deshaun Watson went to OTCs, training camp, preseason, and he was at the facility at every single practice the entire season, practicing on a separate field, keeping himself in shape. These are all reports you can go look up. I know all this information. Deshaun Watson, I hear this a lot. Deshaun Watson quit on the Texans. Deshaun Watson never quit on the Texans. The Texans broke their trust and agreement with him, filled the team around him with garbage. And like a lot of players do, he's not alone. He's not the only player who's ever requested a trade. And then he doesn't just bail. He doesn't sit out. He doesn't sit at home and say, well, I'm not coming in. He shows up to practice every single day. He doesn't miss a day all of 2021, even though the Texans have made him healthy and active every single week. So I just want you guys, anybody out there who's still, well, I don't really know about this whole Watson thing, just think about the Houston Texans for a second. And I want you guys to take a second and just gather in your mind all the dumb shit that the Cleveland Browns have done over the years, up until we got this new front office and coaching staff and things are looking good now. But for decades, this team did some stupid stuff. And now imagine being a Houston Texans fan. You have your $44 million per year quarterback who's coming off three straight Pro Bowl seasons, the NFL's passing leader. He is healthy. And your team is intentionally benching him every single game so that they can trot out a third-round rookie, Davis Mills, and you get to sit there and watch your team look like garbage every single week. Just think about that. That blows my mind. But that's what the Houston Texans did. That's what they did, and that's what Texans fans had to endure that season. And then, of course, kind of getting closer to now time, 2022, Deshaun Watson traded to the Browns after an intense bidding war between the Panthers, Falcons, and Saints. And anybody else complaining about Deshaun Watson right now, let's look at those other three teams these last couple seasons. Would you rather have Deshaun Watson or would you rather have Desmond Ridder, Bryce Young, Derek Carr? Some of you might say, yeah, sure, one of those guys I'd rather have than Deshaun. But just realistically, think about what other options those three teams have been left with since they missed out on the trade. So that's the Browns are trying to avoid a Desmond Ridder situation in Cleveland, which that was Cody Kessler. That was Deshaun Kaiser. I mean, we've had those seasons in Cleveland. We didn't want any more of them, so we traded for Deshaun Watson. And that's just kind of leaves us where we are here. We won't talk about 2022 season because that one's already passed. We're talking about what's leading into now. This episode is presented by Omaha Steaks. Browns fans, the 50% off site-wide sale is still happening over at omahasteaks.com/dogs. Head over there today. Make sure you take advantage of this 50% off sale on everything on their website. Plus, go to that URL/dogs. And then if you use promo code dogs when you check out, you get $30 off your order. This is a deal you cannot beat, especially with the price of meat and all food and just everything right now is sky high. It's just stupid. But this kind of sale, now this meat is the best stuff you guys can get. I'm telling you right now, I've been talking about it for years. The steaks are my absolute favorite. I love them. The burgers, the jumbo franks, brats, the chicken, the pork, all the seafood. They've got the ready-to-eat meals, desserts. They even have wine and things like that. Just go to omahasteaks.com/dogs, check out everything they have to offer, and make sure that you use promo code dogs when you check out. Get $30 off your order, omahasteaks.com/dogs. Minimum order may apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
In 2023, let's look at these stats. And one note before I dive in that I want to talk about the stats. And I see this a lot with Deshaun and these NFL quarterbacks in general, mostly on social media. There's a lot of casual fans, and I can tell immediately who they are, who just play Madden. They play football in a video game, and they play way more Madden than they actually spend time watching NFL football games. Because I see a lot of times the only way that Deshaun Watson can be classified as a good quarterback, or the only way a quarterback has a good game is if he has 300 or more yards and 3 or more touchdowns. Well, guys, if a good quarterback was one who averaged 300 yards a game and 3+ touchdowns a game, the Pro Football Hall of Fame right here in Canton would be completely devoid of all quarterbacks. There'd be nobody in there. Okay. Football or video games and real football, it's such a different story. It's so easy to have these massive seasons in Madden if you've ever played, which I'm sure a lot of you have. I've played Madden. I love Madden, but not so much the recent games. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. It's very easy to go out there and, oh yeah, I had 350 yards this game and 4 touchdowns. Yeah, that doesn't happen so easily in real life. That's why it's called a video game. So anyway, diving into the stats. We are going to mostly focus on 5 games played. I know a lot of official sites, if you look, they're going to say Deshaun Watson's record this year was 5-1. We're going to go ahead and be fair. We're going to say it's 4-1 because I cannot count the Colts game. I don't know how anybody really can. I know he started that game and the Browns won that game, but it was not a win for Deshaun Watson. It was a win for PJ Walker, who played the vast majority of that game. Watson threw 5 passes, completed 1 for 5 yards and threw a pick. It was, if you watch that game, you know the dude was not healthy, should never have been on the field. His shoulder was not right. And honestly, you could just take that entire game and throw it out. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go ahead and detract the win. So we'll keep him at 4-1, but I'll go ahead and let the haters have the stats, the 1 for 5 for 5 yards and a pick. So we'll, that way everybody wins. So looking at 2023, Watson, like I said, 5 games finished 4-1. Of all the stats I'm going to talk about, that's the one I care about the most. And I'm not just saying that as a, oh, I love Deshaun Watson. So I'm going to, 4-1 is great. Now, I would rather it be 16-1. I want 17 games out of this guy as much as anybody. If there's one thing I'm going to gripe about along with a lot of people, I want a full season. I don't want another cut short season. And I try to divide this very evenly with people as much as I can. If you think about in terms of the Browns front office and their expectations for Deshaun Watson, he's only missed time in one season. Think about that. Because in 2022, he missed 11 games, but the Browns traded for him and signed him to that contract, knowing very well he was going to miss a handful of games or more that season. So they were already prepared for 2022 to be that way. So 2023, now, obviously, the broken shoulder, disappointing, cut the season way short, a lot shorter than I wish it would have been. I would have loved to see what he could do over a full season, because I do feel like he was really starting to show some things on the field here in 2023. So he completed 105 out of 171 pass attempts, 1,115 yards, 7 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He had a 61.4 completion percentage, and these are not mind-blowing stats by any measure. So if that's what you're thinking, that's what I'm saying. These are not blow you out of the park numbers. But I do believe that his interceptions are a little misunderstood. So we're just going to talk about that real quick. The interception in the Colts game, I hate counting that one because he shouldn't have been on the field. The Steelers game, that interception, the pick six on the first play of the game, that wasn't his fault. He threw it right to Harrison Bryant's hands, and the dude just didn't catch the ball, popped it in the air, and it got picked off for a touchdown. That's not Deshaun Watson's fault. I'm sorry, it just isn't. Now, the Ravens game on the pick six on that first play of the game. That was a hell of a spectacular play by the Ravens defender. But I'm going to go ahead and say that one is a little more on Deshaun. Now, like I said, the Steelers game, that's not on him at all. That was Harrison Bryant catch the freaking ball. The one in Baltimore, though, that was one. And I griped about Joe Flacco doing the same thing against the Jets. It's on a screen pass. The defender reads it from the start, comes up, and he's in the throwing lane. Joe did the same thing. Joe pump faked once, pump faked twice, and then still tried to throw the screen pass, and the guy picked it off and took it back to the house for pick six. Deshaun did the same thing. Yes, you see the guy coming, so he pump fakes, and then he's like, well, I can still get around this guy and get it over. I think he was thrown to David. Well, the guy snatched it out of the air and just walked it in for a touchdown. Dirt that ball. That's all I'm saying. Joe and Deshaun both on those plays, dirt it. You can... These defensive ends, these pass rushers anymore, are way too athletic to try to throw the ball around them. If they don't pick it off clean out of the air, they're going to deflect it and probably get it up because that's what they're taught to do. And there's a good chance they're catching it on the deflection and taking it in. So just dirt the freaking ball if there's a guy in your face. Anyway, where am I at? I'm kind of losing my mind here a little. So that was the Ravens game. And then the one in the Bengals game, I'm not really sure what he was doing or what he saw. There's even a possibility that ball might have been slightly tipped whenever he threw it. I don't know. Either way, it was a bad interception. So he had a couple interceptions this year that I felt were on him, but he also had two that I think were clearly not on him. So I think that's a good thing to kind of hang your hat on. I do not feel like two faulted interceptions in 5 games. I don't think that's too bad at all. I think that's pretty good. I think we can project that out over a full season and think, This guy takes care of the ball okay. Now, he carried the ball 26 times for 142 yards, 5.5 a carry, and 1 touchdown in those 5 games. Another stat that doesn't show up on a lot of box scores. He converted 3 2-point conversions, 1 against Cincinnati, 1 against Pittsburgh, and 1 against Baltimore. So he had a 2-point conversion completed against each of the AFC North rivals. He did lose 2 fumbles. Both were against Pittsburgh. That was just an all-around bad game. Now, as far as passing and keeping us in the game and giving us a chance to win that ball game, I thought Deshaun Watson actually did a very good job in Pittsburgh on that Monday night, especially considering the game started off with a pick six. Again, not his fault, but that's how the game started. And then Nick Chubb gets his knee blown out by Minkah Fitzpatrick, which was bullshit, but it happened. And still the Browns were in that game. You take out those two fumbles, and I think we probably win. So Deshaun Watson, that was a game, and we lost. That was his only loss of the season. So all in all, not too bad. A stat that I still am not thrilled with, he did take 17 sacks. That comes out to 3.4 sacks per game. Now, that is on par with his career average. That's nothing out of the norm. And wow, it's higher than what we'd like to see. I mean, guys, that is the risk-reward situation of the way he plays football. I mean, his time to throw is on the higher side. He's always looking to extend plays, and he's keeping his eyes downfield. It's not like, you know, if you want to think about Justin Fields, kind of maybe in comparison, he'll look to pass, and then he's looking for a lane to break out and run if the pass isn't there initially. Deshaun Watson, if the pass isn't there initially, he's looking to extend the play and still looking to make a throw. Running is more of the last resort for him. He's kind of making his way to the line of scrimmage with his eyes still downfield, thinking, well, if nothing comes open, I'm taking off here. But he's always keeping the option open to make a throw. And he's made a ton of great plays like that throughout his career. So again, that's just the risk-reward play style that he has. He, let's see, 3 sacks against Cincinnati. He took 6 sacks against Pittsburgh. That was, like I said, just not a great game overall. Yet somehow we still almost won. 3 sacks against Tennessee, 2 against Arizona, and he only took 1 sack in that win against Baltimore, that comeback win. And I thought that was that game right there. If you guys watched the show the next day, we were pumped. We're saying Deshaun Watson's turning the corner. That game right there, that was the definer. That was the season changer. That's where this season, everything after this is going to be, whew, just watch out. And then we got the notification on the phone. Deshaun Watson placed on IR. So I guess we can forget about that. So anyway, just based on these numbers, what I've been talking about here, what I see is pretty simple. I'm not worried about interceptions because, again, he's never had more than 9 in a full season, save for that one where he threw 12. If there's anything to watch for, it's fumbles. But again, he only lost 2 fumbles in those 5 games, and they were both in the same game against the Steelers. It's not like we weren't seeing him fumble and lose fumbles in multiple games, I guess, is what I'm getting at there. Now, those numbers, I mean, that's 2 fumbles lost. He did, I forget how many, it was like 5 or 6 total fumbles in those 5 games. But those are kind of hard to assess without going back and watching all the play-by-plays, because I don't know how many of those are bad snaps, bad handoffs between him and the running back, that kind of thing. But the 2 lost fumbles is what I was really focusing on there. And then we look back, I went through his career, his full seasons. 2018, had 9 fumbles, lost 3. 2019, 10 fumbles, lost 3. 2020, 8 fumbles, lost 3. So honestly, if you're losing 3 fumbles a year as a running quarterback, I don't think that's too bad at all. That's just my opinion, but that number could be higher, and I would say, well, yeah, he's a running quarterback. So I think 3 is not horrible. Now let's kind of jump over to PFF here. I did a minimum of 200 dropbacks. That's shot me out 39 qualifying quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson's offensive grade, not great, 67.3, 27th overall. It was the lowest PFF grade of his career outside of last season, which, I mean, we discussed last year to death already. 66.8 passing grade, that was 26th overall. Like I mentioned, his completion percentage was down at 61.8%. His adjusted completion percentage was 73.1%. Now, that's still lower than his career average, which is around like 75%. And those of you who are new to the show or haven't watched anything in the past that I've talked about adjusted completion percentage, I prefer looking at adjusted completion percentage because it removes incompletions that are not the quarterback's fault. That would be stuff like dropped passes, spiked balls, throwaways that save a down, things like that. Things that are a good play, either a good play by the quarterback, like a throwaway to save a down, or a dropped pass by a receiver, those kinds of things. I hate when those things affect a quarterback's performance in the box score. So that's why I look at adjusted completion percentage. It tells a more accurate story. Speaking of dropped passes, a big issue in 2023 for the Browns. Watson suffered 9 dropped passes. Flacco suffered 12. DTR started 3 games and suffered 8 freaking drop passes, 6 drop passes in the Pittsburgh game alone. And then PJ Walker also suffered 6 drop passes. So if you add it all up, it comes out to a whopping 35 dropped passes for the Browns in 2023. And I couldn't really confirm for certain if that was the most in the league. But as I was sifting through the other teams, I didn't come across any that were higher than 35. A lot in the 20s, but 35, pretty damn high. So we'll jump over to ESPN. And a stat that I know a lot of people like to focus on when they're bashing Deshaun Watson, he had a 42.9 QBR over his 6 games played. Notice there that I said 6 games and not 5 because his QBR was impacted by the Colts game, even though we're not counting the Colts game as a win. He still played in that game. But anyway, the 42.9 QBR, that would slot him right between Sam Howell and Justin Fields in 2023. Obviously, that's not very good. And, you know, I'm not sitting here trying to sugarcoat the score. But you got to keep in mind, you know, a guy like Joe Burrow, he just got his massive contract ahead of last season. And before he got hurt, his QBR in 2023 was just a 51.6, right behind Josh Dobbs. So not a whole lot higher than Deshaun's. And that's why I say, look, QBR, I mean, it's one thing to look at, but when we're looking at stats to explain these players and talk about their performance, you can never just look at one thing. It's just like when people say, oh, well, Miles didn't lead the league in sacks, so therefore he wasn't the best defensive player. Okay, I mean, sure, is sacks the only thing a guy can do? No, there's a ton of other things that these guys do to impact the game. So that's why QBR, you can look at it and talk about it. I mean, it's important, but it's not the only storyteller available. Deshaun's QB rating this year was 84.3. That's well below his career average of 100.8, which for people who do not know, 100.8 career quarterback rating for Deshaun Watson is still, despite the last 2 down years that he's had statistically in Cleveland, Deshaun Watson still has the 3rd highest QB rating in NFL history, right behind Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, who are at 103.6 and 103.5 respectively. And then it's Deshaun Watson at 100.8. So even though the last 2 years in Cleveland haven't been great statistically, he has not completed, you know, the highest number of passes of his career, hasn't had the most touchdowns, his interceptions have been a little bit higher than normal, he still, including those 2 seasons, partial seasons, still has the 3rd highest passer rating in history. So that just shows you how great his career in Houston was. And I still believe he's that player. You might not. A lot of people might not. A lot of people might still be skeptical. I believe he's still that player. I just need to see it for a full season. I don't know where you guys are at. Let me know in the comments how you feel, but that's where I'm currently sitting. So that, what was it? 84.3 QB rating in 2023. That puts him down with Gardner Minshew and Will Levis. Those are not great names to be company with, but you also have to consider QB rating last year. In the few games he played, Mason Rudolph led the league with 118. So would you rather have Deshaun Watson or Mason Rudolph as your quarterback? If anybody out there saying, give me Mason Rudolph, you are strongly encouraged to seek immediate help. But again, look, I understand that the concern with these stats, and I agree. People who say that they've expected better from Deshaun Watson, considering the investment that the Browns made in him, that's very valid. I totally, totally understand. But you also have to understand that there is a difference between just simple box score surfing and actually watching Deshaun Watson play football games. And I'll give you a for instance. For instance, Deshaun Watson's quarterback rating in week 1 against the Bengals was just 67.3. But overall in that game, I thought he played a pretty solid game considering it rained the entire time. It was a divisional opponent, week 1, and his QB rating being kind of low there does not factor in the fact that he gained 45 yards on the ground, he scored a touchdown on the ground, or that he scored a 2-point conversion. So there are other factors in the game that aren't necessarily picked up by some of these statistical categories. And that's why, to start off this entire conversation about stats, I said the most important one that concerns me is 4-1. I like that number. I like that win-loss ratio. And that's what I want to see translate the most into a full season in 2024. The Browns are going to be okay if that happens. Now we'll talk contract. And this doesn't even, I know he's got the biggest, most controversial contract on the team. This is going to be the quickest, shortest conversation of them all. 2024 cap hit, $64 million at the moment. By the time you're watching this, who knows, maybe it's already done. The Browns will restructure that, and they could free up, I think the number is around $33 million. So essentially, you could just cut his cap hit for 2024 in half. And anybody screaming still that they want to cut him, get rid of him, Deshaun Watson has a $156 million dead cap after June 1st. Cutting him, this is important for anybody out there who still thinks this, cutting Deshaun Watson would cost the Browns $92 million against the cap. So you would be paying $92 million for nothing. So that's why Deshaun Watson's not going anywhere, guys. Okay, he is locked in as the Browns quarterback. $92 million is just a little bit higher than what the Broncos are paying right now. Did you know that the Denver Broncos are paying around $35 million for Russell Wilson to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers this year? Yeah, that's the kind of situation the Broncos got themselves in. So just when you're comparing these kinds of things, just be happy. Sometimes be grateful that we're not suffering the way other teams are suffering. I couldn't imagine being a Broncos fan right now and saying my team is paying $35 million of my current season cap for a player to go be the starting quarterback, not just to be on the team, to be the starting quarterback of another franchise. That's just mind-blowing. But anyway, that's Deshaun Watson. I spent a lot more time on him than I spent on anybody else in this entire series because, one, he's the non-changeable. He is the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. At the end of the day, that's the end of the story. The team will go as Deshaun goes. We need him to play a full season, and that is my biggest thing right now looking for 2024. Numbers and stats and all that stuff, whatever. Does he need to be top 10 in QBR for the contract to pay off? No. Does he need to lead the league in passing or be top 5 in touchdown passes to make the trade worth it? No. Guess what he needs to do? Play the season and get the Browns to the playoffs. I don't give a flying hoot if he throws for 2,000 yards and 15 touchdowns on the whole season if he leads the Browns to the playoffs and wins his playoff games and puts us in contention to compete for a championship. That's what I care about. Yes, stats are great. Stats help you get there. But at the same time, like you saw in 2020, he led the league in passing, almost 5,000 yards passing, and the team was like 4-12. Who really cares about the stats when you're a fan going, well, I didn't make the playoffs. So great, we had the passing leader, but we didn't make the playoffs. At the end of the day, it's all about winning a Super Bowl, being a champion, getting that ring. That's what I'm concerned with Deshaun Watson. Stats are nice. Stats are pretty. I have no expectations and no minimum threshold for any stats whatsoever other than wins. Win 10, 11, 12 games next year, get to the playoffs, and make some noise. Compete for a championship. That's what I expect. In the comments, let me know your expectations for the Browns in 2023 and for Deshaun Watson. I've got four more guys I got to talk about yet. So this episode is going to go on for a little bit. Just start throwing them in the comments. Deshaun Watson, are you concerned with QBR, yards, touchdowns, interceptions? What factors will constitute a good season in 2024 for Deshaun? Or do you just want to see a full season, win games? That's where I'm at. So let me know what you guys think. I know we all have different opinions. I have no problem talking different opinions. Let's just talk civil about them. That's all we got to do. We're all friends here. This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee. Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com, use our code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over. So you get 10% off every order you make using code DOGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. DangerCoffee.com, code dogs. Speaking of all friends here, prior to earlier this week, the Browns only had one other quarterback under contract for 2024, and his name is Dorian Thompson-Robinson, otherwise known as DTR. 6'2", 203 pounds, 24 years old, is going to turn 25 in November. Born in Columbia, South Carolina, played high school football in Las Vegas, and then he played 5 years of college at UCLA. And if you remember, the Browns met with him during the pre-draft process last offseason. They identified him as a player that they really wanted. They really liked him, and they got him. They made sure they got him. They took him with the 140th overall pick in the fifth round of last year's 2023 NFL draft. And unfortunately for him and for the Browns, he had to start games this year. We were hoping that wouldn't happen, but it did. So he started 3 games this year, had a 1-2 record, completed 60 for 112. That was 53.6% completion, 440 yards, 1 touchdown, 2-4 interceptions. And the weirdest stat for me, considering what the Browns had on offense and his shortcomings as a passer at the NFL level, as a rookie, of course, just 14 rushing attempts for 65 yards, no touchdowns, just 4 first downs. You know, like I said, with those struggles in the passing game, I was kind of surprised that the Browns didn't include more designed runs for DTR. But then again, I guess that really wouldn't have helped us in that first start against Baltimore. We were down big, so what's him running the ball really going to do for us? And I know in the Pittsburgh game, we were playing things very close to the chest, so we probably weren't trying to get the ball in his hands more than we had to. So it was kind of a weird thing for me. I did expect a little more running, but when you break it down, I guess it makes sense. Either way, he got knocked out of the Denver Broncos game with a concussion, with that hit to the chin and the neck area. And then Joe Flacco came in the following week, and that was the end of anybody else starting for the Browns. Contract-wise, 2024 cap hit for DTR, just $1 million. Browns could easily move on from him if they felt they needed to, which I don't see that happening, barring, you know, any unforeseen changes or additions to the team. They drafted DTR to be the long-term backup to Deshaun, and I think, you know, he was meant to be developed. He wasn't meant to be starting meaningful games for the Browns in 2023 right away, so I think we got to take that in consideration. Overall, I do think that DTR has, you know, he's got good skill set. He's got good intangibles. I think that he could be a decent backup quarterback at the NFL level. He just needs to continue to develop. All right, so let's talk about free agents. We did have a guy named PJ Walker on the team in 2023. He started 2 games, had a 1-1 record, finished out the Denver game when DTR went down with his concussion. PJ was 54 for 111. That's a 48.6% completion. So if you see, all the completion percentages for our quarterbacks last year were pretty low. And I just wonder if that's not a product of the offensive system we were running. I don't know what to really expect with Ken Dorsey this year. I'm hoping that kind of thing can be improved. But again, Deshaun's completion percentage was low. That's why I look at adjusted. But for the sake of this argument, we'll just look at the regular completion percentage. His was low. DTR's was low. PJ's was lower. I mean, really just not all that great. And PJ, let's see, 674 yards, a touchdown, 5 interceptions in just 2 games. I mean, ooh, buddy. Well, I guess he in that 2.5 games, we'll say, with the Denver game. It just wasn't pretty with PJ Walker. You know, if you watch those games, you thought, does this guy have to play for us, really? Because he just, he did what he could, and unfortunately what he could just wasn't great. And, you know, yes, the Browns won the San Francisco 49ers game with PJ as the quarterback, but it certainly wasn't because of PJ. And if you remember, you know, if the story is true, Kevin called a quarterback, whatever, run down toward the end zone, toward the goal line late in the game. PJ, and the story is that he told PJ, under no circumstances do you throw this ball, just run it. When PJ thought he had an opening, thought he had a guy open, threw the ball, almost picked. If it had been picked, the Browns would have lost that game. So it's not like we outright spanked the 49ers. We outlasted them. Again, a win is a win. At the NFL level, I'm not bitching about any wins. Don't get me wrong. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But it was not because of anything special that PJ Walker did in that game. And then we've got one other free agent, and he's no longer a free agent, to talk about that played for the Browns last year, and that is, of course, Joe Flacco. And yes, I did a wardrobe change for this segment because, guys, it's okay. We can love all around. It's okay to like Deshaun Watson as the Browns starter and also appreciate what Joe Flacco did for the Cleveland Browns in 2023. He came in as a last resort for the Browns when it felt like all hope was lost at the quarterback position. We were going to have to grind it out, tough it out, and just pray to heaven above that the Browns could squeak out enough wins to make the playoffs because the quarterback play was not going well for the Browns. Joe Flacco came in, took the bull by the horns, and did what he needed to do. We asked him to do a lot, and he did a lot. We're forever grateful for the season that Joe Flacco gave us, and that run was something spectacular. So I just see a lot of people that feel like they have to pick a side. And I'm here to tell you guys, no, you don't. You do not have to pick a side. Deshaun Watson, Joe Flacco, obviously they had a great relationship. You could see it on the sidelines when they were together during the games. And Joe Flacco just meshed very well with the offense Kevin Stefanski was running last year because it was a very limited offense after Deshaun Watson was out, Nick Chubb was out, our running game was terrible, we had practice squad third string tackles playing. It was a mess. And Flacco came in and he held down a veteran role for us very, very well. So let's talk about Mr. Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco turned 39 years old. Just here this in January, a couple months ago, he came in, like I said, he came in to the Browns during the Denver week, and then he started his first game following that one in LA against the Rams. And it was that game against the Rams that you saw, or at least I saw, the potential upside, the potential for great things, and the potential for some disaster. Having Joe Flacco as the Browns quarterback, the potential for upside was, man, we marched right down the field, scored a touchdown immediately, and he commanded the offense very well. And you could just sense his veteran leadership, his veteran, his veteran experience coming into the fold. He didn't need to know everything perfectly. He didn't need to know all the players perfectly. He had a good enough feel for the game of football that he was able to execute the offense. But when the Browns were still within 1 point, the game was very well within hand. We could have gone down the field. We were trying to march down. I think it was late in the third quarter, might have been early fourth. I can't remember off the top of my head. Try to take the lead again. Joe Flacco comes out on first down, chucks the ball deep to Elijah Moore, and it's easily intercepted, returned for a good chunk of yardage, and the Rams end up scoring, and the game just spiraled out of control from there. And that was the point where it was like, okay, this could be the problem going forward. And it was. It was the turnovers ended up being the issue in a lot of games. The Bears game specifically comes to mind. Yes, he had like the highest yardage total in one quarter of football all season. In that fourth quarter, he had like 200 and some yards. But that's because the Bears scored 17 points in the game, and 14 of those came pretty much directly off of Joe Flacco interceptions. And it was just stuff like that where we said over and over on the show, man, what he's doing is awesome. What he's doing is fun. What he's doing is not sustainable. 300-yard games. I think he averaged 2.2 total turnovers a game. That stuff's not sustainable. And it wasn't, and it ended up coming to an end in the wild card game, but to no fault of his, of course, can't say, well, you lost us the season. Dude came in as the last resort late in the year and did some really nice things. So 5 regular season games for Joe Flacco, 4-1 record, same as Deshaun, 123 completions out of 204 attempts. He had a 60.3 completion percentage. So again, like the other 3 quarterbacks I've talked about so far, kind of low, definitely on the lower end. 1,616 yards, 13 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions. Joe's QBR was 48.3. Deshaun's, if you remember, was 42.9. So they were actually pretty similar in that stat for those who look at QBR as a huge differentiator between guys. Joe took just 8 sacks in those 5 games. So that's a very nice stat for him. When you're a pocket passing quarterback like Joe Flacco, you don't have the playmaking ability to get the to extend the play. You're not really a rushing threat. You got to get the ball out fast. You can't take sacks because you don't have the playmaking ability to extend the play or to pick up chunk yardage on the next play if you need to. So it was good to see Joe not take a ton of sacks during the regular season. And then there comes one more game to talk about, and that's the wild card game against Houston. In the playoffs, Joe went 34-46, 307 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions, and both of those interceptions were pick sixes that the Texans took back to the house. This is actually a kind of a big pet peeve of mine so far this offseason, when there's a lot of clueless bystanders out there who obviously didn't really watch the wild card game. They just want to look at the box score, look at the final score, and throw that in Browns fans' faces like, you guys suck. Your defense was ass. They gave up 45 points. Well, they did suck, but they only gave up 31 points. 14 of those 45 points were scored by the Houston Texans defense coming off of those pick sixes. So that's how the season wrapped up for the Browns. You know, Joe just came out with 300-yard game after 300-yard game, and he was doing some pretty incredible things. But we also got to remember, and I've got the post on Twitter. You can go find it, the stat sheet. I broke it all down. The rushing game fell apart the second half of the season. It wasn't there. Jerome Ford, Kareem Hunt were not getting the job done. Pierre Strong was nowhere to be found. We had backup guys on the line. The only thing we could do to salvage anything during any game was throw the ball. And luckily, we had a seasoned veteran at back there who could be relied upon to just throw the ball. A lot of turnovers. We also had a lot of yards and touchdowns, so that was good. But it is important to remember that while what Joe did was impressive, it was also completely necessary. We had to throw the ball. That's all we had left available to us, and he responded pretty well. So we got one more thing here. He did take four sacks just in that wild card game. So half of what he took in the previous five regular season games combined, he took in that one wild card game. So, you know, the season came to a screeching halt. It was still a really fun season. And, you know, I could spend a ton of time comparing the stats and things between Joe Flacco, Deshaun Watson. And there might be some of you watching this that hope I do, but, you know, Joe now plays for the Indianapolis Colts, and I'm not Tony Grossi. So 2024 does not include Joe Flacco. I want to talk about what he did for the Browns in 2023, because the stats, the wins and things, he was a massive part of those things for the Browns. But moving forward, he is not in the plans for 2024. And that's all we got to talk about, because instead, this came out earlier this week, 2024 will include Jameis Winston on the roster along with Deshaun Watson and Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Jameis Winston is 6'4", 231 pounds, just turned 30 years old, born in Bessemer, Alabama, and Jameis Winston is actually another baseball guy. I don't know if you knew this, Jameis Winston was drafted by the Texas Rangers in the 15th round in 2012, but he decided not to sign with the Rangers, decided to stay at Florida State and play football. In 2013 at Florida State, he won the BCS National Championship game. So this was before the playoff National Championship games. He won the Heisman Trophy that year, and he actually only lost one game his entire college career as the starting quarterback. So Jameis Winston was awesome in college. He got drafted number one overall by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2015. And Jameis played in Tampa Bay from 2015 to 2019. After the 2019 season, he had surgery to repair a torn meniscus. He also had LASIK eye surgery, coming off a 5,109-yard season with 33 touchdowns and 30 interceptions. And after that season, the Bucs opted not to re-sign him. They brought in Tom Brady, won a Super Bowl, yada, yada, yada. So instead, Jameis Winston signed a one-year deal with the Saints in 2020. Signed another one-year deal with the Saints in 2021, and then in 2022 signed a two-year extension, kept him there for 22 and 23. If you are interested in hearing our thoughts about Jameis Winston from a couple years ago, me and Blake actually did an episode back in 2022 before we traded for Deshaun Watson, and we talked about why the Browns should consider signing Jameis Winston to be the starter as an interim bridge quarterback between Baker, who we already knew they were moving off of, and whoever the next quarterback was going to be for the Browns. Jameis Winston, this dude had 4,000 yards 22 touchdowns and 15 interceptions as a rookie. That's super impressive. 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns the following season. So in his first two seasons in the NFL, dude was over 8,000 yards already. Had 22 his first year, almost 30 touchdowns his second year. As a Buccaneers fan, you had to be thinking, we got a guy here. We got a guy. And then the next two seasons, Jameis missed some time with some injuries and things. And then his fifth season there, the dude put up 5,100 yards. Just, I'm laughing because I've got the numbers in front of me. That's the 10th most single season yardage in NFL history. So if you look at the top 10 leaders in NFL history for yardage in a single season, there's Jameis Winston, number 10 at 5,100. I mean, he had an outrageous season, 33 touchdowns. And you got to think 5,100 yards and 33 touchdowns will get you a big second contract. But 30 interceptions is going to hurt you. And it did. So that's Jameis Winston, the new backup in Cleveland to Deshaun Watson. Now, why did the Browns sign Jameis Winston instead of Joe Flacco? Go back and watch my last episode where I broke down the signing of Jameis Winston, kind of talked about the scheme fit for the new Browns offense with Ken Dorsey, all that kind of stuff. And stay tuned because we are going to discuss this very topic on next week's live show with me, Blake, and Justin. We're going to break kind of our thoughts, opinions, and all the stuff that's come out about the Browns signing Winston over a guy like Flacco, who honestly was clearly, if you were reading the tea leaves, Joe Flacco was never in the Browns plans for 2024. I know that might sound, yes, he was. Oh, come on. They were talking. Go, if you were following the tea leaves, if you were following what the Browns were saying, kind of what Joe Flacco was saying, how things transpired, it wasn't going to happen, but we'll talk about all that on the next show. That wraps up State of the Browns, guys. That wraps up the entire roster for 2024 ahead of, you know, free agency and all the guys that we've already signed. Though with the defensive side of the ball, I mean, we talked about Za'Darius Smith. We talked about Maurice Hurst, Shelby Harris in those episodes. And now they are going to be here for the next year or two, some of those guys. So check it out. Check out all these episodes in the series. Go back, watch. We did our live show this past week talking about Jerry Jeudy coming to the Browns, the trade for him. All kinds of things happening for the Browns right now. The NFL season has officially started for 2024. Our little mini off season where there's not a whole lot going on, not a whole lot to talk about, that shit is done. We are deep in the thick of NFL news and it's going to continue now. Free agency is going to continue. Guys are going to keep getting signed, moved, traded. The NFL draft is coming up. Me and Kenny Mack got a great episode coming up this weekend talking about draft picks that we would like to see the Browns bring in during the draft, guys that they've already met with. And I think that's a pretty important thing to look at. So we're going to be doing that. And like I said, live show next week and then just breaking down all the stuff for you guys because you're the best damn audience in Browns Nation. We love you guys. Thank you for following the podcast. Please like, subscribe on YouTube. Follow us everywhere on all the socials. Chime in, get in the conversations with us. And if you want more interaction with us and everybody in our tight-knit community, head to jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member on our Patreon page, get access to the private Discord, 24/7 conversations going on in there. You will never not have a Browns fan buddy to talk to ever again in your life in that Discord. It is awesome. These guys are the best. We've created friendships in there with these guys. We play fantasy football dynasty leagues with these guys. It's so much fun. Everybody's awesome. It's a community that if you're a diehard Browns fan, you want to be a part of it. Trust me. And you can do a 7-day free trial. Just go to jointhedogs.com, click the 7-day free trial option, get in there, check it out. See if you like it. If you don't, no harm, no foul. If you do, stick with us and it's going to be a ton of fun. Until I talk to you guys again, I appreciate everybody again tuning in. You guys rock. And let's go Browns.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
Thank you.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.